All right, guys, you are Locked On Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today we are talking all about how the Falcons can get under the salary cap now that it has been officially set by the NFL.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com. RIP, still going strong on Twitter at FalcFans. And, of course, the host of this preeminent Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today's episode of Locked On Falcons is brought to you by RockAuto.com, where they have amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Please visit RockAuto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. So today's episode of Locked On Falcons is going to be all about the salary cap. We're also going to talk a little bit about the fact that the Falcons got some compensatory picks. So a lot of news breaking across the NFL that affects all 32 NFL teams. And it feels like we're this last week before the new league year starts up. We're already sort of gearing up for some big moves. We got some potential roster moves and restructurings potentially on the horizon for the Falcons over this next week. And we'll get sort of exactly into how the Falcons will make some of those moves in order to get under the salary cap. So without further ado, let's sort of jump right into it. Officially, the 2021 salary cap has now been set at $182.5 million, which is down from the 2020 salary cap of little more than $198 million. And what's interesting about this salary cap situation for the Falcons is, you know, 182.5 is low technically for the Falcons because league rules allow for teams to carry over cap space from the previous year, like rollover minutes with phone plans. You know, the Falcons carried over the league's third lowest total of about $1.8 million. So their effective salary cap at this point is about $184.3 million. For your information, if you're curious, the Browns carried over the most in the league with over $30 million, and the Ravens carried over the lowest with roughly $600,000. But now, based off of overthecap.com's projections, with that sort of salary cap, the Falcons are about $14 million over this year's salary cap, which means that they'll have to get under the salary cap. So they have to shave off at least another $14 million before the start of the league year when free agency kicks off on March 17th. And because the Falcons only have 39 players in the contract, they really are going to have to sign some players at some point, which means that just getting under the salary cap is not going to be good enough because at some point they're going to have to use some money to add players, right? And they can't just rely on, you know, filling up the rest of their 53-man roster with, you know, 14 draft picks and assume that everybody currently on the roster, looking at you, Don Maggio, are going to wind up making the team. So at some point, they're going to have to create even more than $14 million in the salary cap to get guys on the contract. Now, that's part of the reason why you've heard me say things like the Falcons need to be at least $15 million under the salary cap in order to get a minimum number of things done this offseason. Now, that's my own calculation, but that's basically the number I've come up with by, you know, playing with the numbers a whole bunch, like, you know, every other day for the last, you know, 2 months. Basically, they need to get about $15 million in order to really have like 53 guys on the roster before they even get to the draft. And then they're going to need even more money on top of that $15 million to sign what their draft class is going to wind up being. So, you know, that $15 million number is heavily reliant on the Falcons signing a bunch of guys to like veteran minimum contracts. So if they want to actually go out there and spend more money on guys, then they're going to even need more space than $15 million. So, you know, the Falcons have the flexibility to create more than $15 million in salary cap space. So essentially at this point in time, with the $14 million over that they're right, the $15 million they need to get under, they need to be able to create roughly about $30 million in salary cap space. They have the flexibility to do that. We'll talk about that more and how they can do that later on today's episode. But before we get into that, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the other big news that came out on Wednesday, which is the announcement of the compensatory draft picks that the NFL announced. Over the cap NFL.com had been projecting all year long, really going back to last summer, that the Falcons would get three compensatory picks, and they wound up getting the three that they had been projecting: a fifth round pick for Vic Beasley, a fifth for Devondre Campbell, and the sixth round pick for Wes Schweitzer. Having lost a seventh round pick in this upcoming draft due to the Charles Harris trade, that gives the Falcons now with nine draft picks in 2021, one each in the first four rounds, three fifth round picks and 2 6th round picks. So based off of over the cap's projections, the Falcons will need a roughly about $4.5 million in effective cap space to get their rookie class signed when the time comes, sometime in May or June or July, whenever that happens. Which is why you'll continue to hear me say, like, rounding that figure to about $5 million to get their rookie sign in. That gives them a little bit of built-in leeway should they sort of trade back at various points in the draft and acquire more picks, which will require slightly more cap space. But it basically means that the Falcons, in addition to the $15 million that I talked about earlier, are going to have to create another $5 million at some point later this offseason. And they could try to create that cap space over the next week, right? For example, let's say they find a way to free up $23 million in cap space, and they're $23 million under the salary cap by the start of next week. And then they reserve about $5 million of that to sign their rookies down the road. And so that, therefore, would give them about $18 million to spend now between now and the draft. Another way that they can create that cap space to sign their rookie class would be designating certain players as post-June 1 cuts. They did that this past year with Desmond Trufant and did use that cap space to sign their rookie draft class before training camp. The obvious candidate to do that this offseason would be Dante Fowler, as his post-June 1 release would free up a little shy of $8 million, more than enough to sign their draft class, and leave a little bit left over in the case that they want to do some last-minute summer shopping before training camp starts, similar to what they did last summer with adding players like Darqueze Dennard. A third way that they could free up that cap space would be to restructure someone's contract down the road. The problem, of course, that requires a little bit more planning ahead of time, because you can't restructure contracts more than once during a calendar year. But that may be a reason why the Falcons may hold off restructuring contracts like Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, two contracts that, depending on if you listen, whoever you're listening to, the Falcons should absolutely restructure in order to create cap space or to avoid restructuring at all costs. But they could wind up touching either one of those deals later this offseason and use that money to sign the rookies. And we'll get a little bit more into that later on today's episode. But with all that said, let's sort of jump in how the Falcons need to get that immediate savings and get that necessary $14 million and more to get under the salary cap. And we'll break down exactly how the Falcons can do that coming up on today's podcast. But before we get there, guys, I've told you recently about some routine maintenance I had to get done in my car, getting the brakes fixed, getting a taillight replaced, and I wound up spending way more money than I wanted to. And all I needed to do was just go to rockauto.com. And I could have done that pretty easily because rockauto.com's website has an easy to navigate catalog. I could have typed in the parts I was looking for, find them, and found them for much cheaper. Whether I was looking for engine parts, motor oil, floor mats, the brake parts and tail lamps that I necessarily needed, I could have gotten everything I needed just in a few easy clicks and delivered it directly to my door. And as I always say, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. Take it from me. It's the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So don't be like me. Go to rockauto.com right now ahead of time. See all the parts available for your car, truck, right? Locked On and How Did You Hear About Us boxes that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So it's March, and you know what that means. It means March Madness, bracketology, and it's time to find out which is the best Built Bar. All month long, Built Bar is unveiling their bracket for the best flavor with daily matchups between the top flavors, and you can pick yours at BuiltBar.com. In case you missed it, Built Bars are the best tasting protein bar on the market, and they're not just tasty, they're healthy too. They're low in sugar, low in calories, high in protein, high in fiber. Build your own bracket or vote for your favorites by heading over to BuiltBar.com, and make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. Today's matchups feature caramel brownie versus cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake versus carrot cake with walnuts. I got caramel brownie and lemon almond cheesecake as my picks. Pick yours at BuiltBar.com, and when you do, make sure that you use the promo code LOCKEDON20 and you'll get 20% off your next order. So betting on football doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, and Lee's lock of the day by following the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by Bet Online. betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. So the ways that the Falcons can create cap space, the first way is easy in the obvious way. It's by making cuts, right? They've already cut four players already this offseason. That's so far created about $15 million in cap space, but they still got a ways to go. They certainly could cut some more guys. The two main candidates that I think for immediate release are Tyler Davidson and Isaiah Oliver. Both guys would free up roughly about $2.2 million in salary cap space. They could also cut Dante Fowler and get $3.2 million in immediate cap savings, or they could designate him a post June 1 release, which again could create about $7.9 million in cap space, but they wouldn't get that space until June 2nd. And that's not going to necessarily help them to get compliant before the March 17th deadline in which they need to. So I think of this three-man group, Davidson is the likeliest to get cut. Oliver is certainly on the bubble, but given the lack of cornerbacks that they currently have on the roster, or at least the lack of good cornerbacks that they currently have on the roster, they might hold off on cutting him until they can at least add a couple more bodies there and feel like before they feel comfortable moving on from him. But all told, we're talking about anywhere between about $2.2 and about $7.6 million in cap space that they're talking about if the Falcons choose to release one or more of these players that I just talked about, which leaves them about $7 to $12 million more in cap space that they would need to have to create in order to get cap compliant. But again, as I said earlier, we're not just about getting cap compliant. We want to get under $15 million and under. So that means that we really need to get at least $22 million in cap relief in addition to basically get that money. And where that's going to come from is primarily from restructures, because you're not going to be able to create that $22 million solely by cutting players. So we're going to definitely see the Falcons restructure some contracts. The quickest and easiest way to get cap space by restructuring is using the max restructure method. As I understand it, there is language in every NFL contract nowadays that allows basically teams to do the max restructure without consulting the player. I'm not sure how accurate that report is, but even if it's untrue, there's really no reason for a player to balk at doing a max restructure because they're not taking money less. In fact, they're actually getting the same amount of money, but they're getting more of it up front. You know, as I've explained before in previous episodes, the short version of what a max restructure is basically like a paycheck advance. Teams basically take a player's base salary, reduce it to the minimum salary, and then convert the difference into signing bonus, which the player can immediately pocket instead of waiting like he normally would to get his base salary during the season. Essentially, what it does is it saves you cap space this year, but it does add additional cap space next year. It's essentially kicking the can down the road strategy that you constantly hear people complaining about when it comes to the salary cap. But sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And the obvious candidates for this max restructure are Grady Jarrett and Jake Matthews. Grady Jarrett would save you about $6.75 million and Jake Matthews about $8.7 million by doing these max restructures. Those two right there, that's $15 million. So those two moves alone would get you cap compliant regardless of what you did in terms of the cuts. Other candidates for max restructure are Deion Jones. That's about $5.5 million in terms of what you could free up there. So I think the odds are very high that we will see at the minimum Grady Jarrett, Jake Matthews, and Deion Jones all get max restructures over the next week. The real questions is going to be how the Falcons create additional cap space, because if you're following along by cutting Davidson and restructuring those three contracts, Jarrett, Matthews, and Jones, we're now about $9 million under the salary cap. And again, we need to get another $6 million at a minimum, in my opinion. So how do we get that $6 million? Well, we could get that $6 million exactly by doing a max restructure of Dante Fowler. Instead of cutting Dante Fowler, just do a max restructure. But as I've mentioned in the past, crediting people like CBS Sports' Joe Corey, that the Falcons, instead of just going for a max restructure of Dante Fowler, they could try to get a little bit more cap space by asking Dante Fowler to take a legit pay cut, right? Essentially, the Falcons could approach Fowler to take a pay cut and save more than $6 million. They could do that because they do have a little bit of leverage over Dante Fowler in the sense of that they could simply say, you know, well, Dante, we can cut you outright or you can take this pay cut, right? If you refuse to take the pay cut, we'll just cut you outright. We'll still save some money, $3 million, as I mentioned before. And the reason why Dante Fowler would take that, because he doesn't want to get cut, because this is not the offseason where he in particular wants to get cut and get out on this flooded free agent pass rusher market where you have players like Carl Lawson, Yannick Ngakoue, Matt Jaden, Shaq Barrett, Bud Dupree, Carlos Dunlap, Jadeveon Clowney, Melvin Ingram, Lennon Floyd, Hassan Reddick, so many more other guys that he's now going to be competing with to get the best possible deals. And given the season that Dante Fowler just had, chances are very low that he's going to get a really good lucrative deal. So there's in a situation where if Dante Fowler hit the open market in this scenario, he's probably going to wind up making less money than what the Falcons could potentially offer him in terms of a pay cut. So it behooves Fowler to take a pay cut in this situation and hope that he can then play well enough in 2021 that when he inevitably hits the market in 2022 after the Falcons cut him next year, that he can then make up the money that he wound up losing. So let's assume in that scenario, the Falcons, instead of getting $6 million from a max restructure, maybe they get an additional $3 million. So they wind up saving actually closer to $9 million against the salary cap space. So based what we've done now, we've now gotten the Falcons $18 million under the salary cap by doing these moves, by doing max restructures of Grady Jarrett, Jake Matthews, Deion Jones, asking Dante Fowler for a pay cut and cutting Tyler Davidson. We're now $18 million under the salary cap, and we didn't even have to touch Matt Ryan and Julio Jones's contract and risk incurring a huge dead money hit in 2022 by asking them to restructure their contracts. Although technically, regardless of whether the Falcons touch Ryan and Julio's deals this offseason, they're going to get a large dead money hit next year should they decide to move on from one or both of those players. Combined, it's about $42 million in dead money if the Falcons were to trade both Matt Ryan and Julio Jones next offseason before June. And that's a huge number. But the thing is that you want to prevent that number from going up, right? It starts at $42 million at a minimum. You don't want that number to go up higher if you wind up restructuring their contracts. But that being said, I'm not as convinced as others that the Falcons can go throughout this entire offseason without restructuring one of their contracts at some point. Because again, we got $18 million under the salary cap space, but we still don't have a necessarily amount of money in order to sign our rookie draft class. That's even before signing our rookie draft class. So I feel like at some point you're going to have to restructure one of those two guys' contract to get this cap savings in order to sign your rookie draft class later this offseason. But one way that the Falcons could potentially avoid that is by approaching Grady Jarrett to do a contract extension. Rather than just simply doing a max restructure on Grady Jarrett, they try to extend Grady Jarrett's contract. And how much money in addition they could save depends on how you structure the contract. But basically, I looked at giving Grady Jarrett a contract similar to what DeForest Buckner signed with the Colts last year and using over the cap's contract construction. They have a lot of fun features. Go visit overthecap.com, by the way. So I gave basically Grady Jarrett a 3-year extension that averaged $21.3 million per year, which makes him now the second highest defensive tackle in the NFL behind Aaron Donald, guaranteed him $45 million over the next 3 seasons, and wound up saving the Falcons roughly $11.4 million in salary cap space this year, which is nearly $5 million more than we would have saved doing a max restructure. So essentially, by doing that extension and structuring it that way, doing a very simple extension, I was able to get the $5 million that we need in addition to sign our rookie draft class. So that's one possible avenue, but one would imagine if the Falcons are planning on extending Grady Jarrett, they would have been working on an extension with Grady Jarrett for some time, because those aren't deals that you just draw up in a week, right? As we see time and time again, we saw this with Grady Jarrett when he was franchise tagged, that it took the Falcons a long time to get a deal done. So given that we haven't heard reports coming out of the various camps that saying the Falcons are working on an extension with Grady Jarrett, I would say it's unlikely that the Falcons will extend them, but we'll see. We'll see. Again, always surprises. We got a brand new regime here, so maybe, you know, they've been working hard in secret, right? Apparently our cap guru has been not sleeping for the last, you know, several weeks, according to Terry Fontenot. But, you know, falling short of all that, we do need to touch upon what would happen if the Falcons do decide to restructure Matt Ryan and or Julio Jones's deals at some point this offseason. And we'll get into that as we wrap up today's show. But before we get there, guys, I want to let you know that Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, NHL, NASCAR, and FCS college football are all in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Get real-time updated odds and the props on almost anything you can imagine, because Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Just head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Again, sign up today at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So Thursdays on the Locked On NFL podcast are a must listen with hosts Ryan Tracy and Jake Lisco breaking down teams from across the NFL with analytics and a team building perspective. Get that expert analysis from Ryan and Jake every Thursday by subscribing to Locked On NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts. So I was asked a question on yesterday's episode from a listener that said, would the Falcons free agent moves tip their hand to what their draft plans would be? And I said, maybe, depending on sort of the size of the contract that they wound up giving out to a various free agent might indicate that they are passing on drafting that same position early in the draft. But one thing I didn't necessarily address is how the Falcons approach Matt Ryan and Julio Jones's contracts would potentially be particularly meaningful to what this team's plans are in the draft, particularly with that number one overall, or not number one overall, but first round draft pick. And in a world where the Falcons completely stay away from Matt Ryan and Julio Jones's deals, that would definitely indicate that the teams were keeping their options open, to put it lightly, in regards to whether or not the team could or should move on from one or both players come 2022. Obviously, in the case of both, the Falcons could definitely plan to draft their successor slash replacement at the top of April's draft. And that's especially true in the case of Ryan, given all the hubbub that we've heard over the last several months about whether the Falcons would take a quarterback at pick number four. However, there is one way where the Falcons can simply just say, you know, screw it, and just do max restructures of both guys' contracts. And that would indicate that the team is far less concerned about maintaining their cap flexibility for the future and essentially be the whole they're going all in strategy. However, now, contrary to popular opinion, I don't think that necessarily means that the team is firmly committed to both of those guys long term. It just means that at a minimum, Terry Fontenot is borrowing a page from the Mickey Loomis playbook, his mentor, and saying we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But it certainly would be a feather in the cap of the people that believe that the Falcons would then pass on a quarterback this year and instead potentially opt to either trade back from pick four or target a position, another position with that draft selection. I would tend to agree. That would certainly point us in that direction. So I do think, rather than looking at the free agent moves, we can look at what the Falcons do with Matt and Julio's deals as an indicator of what this team's plan is, particularly at the top of the draft. So I think in the scenario, if the Falcons do intend to draft a quarterback at four, it does behoove them to probably stay away from restructuring Matt Ryan's contract as much as possible. So again, I think rather than looking at their free agent moves, I think how they deal with the contracts of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones probably is a larger indicator of what this team's draft plans are, at least at the top of the draft. But let's talk about what's at stake from a cap standpoint if the Falcons decide to pull a Mickey Loomis and do max restructure of Matt Ryan and Julio's deals. If they did a max restructure of Matt Ryan, they would save about $14.6 million in salary cap space. Julio Jones is closer to about $9.5 million. That's why you hear me say things, however, like the salary cap is a speed bump, because if the Falcons really wanted to, in addition to the $18 million in cap space that we've already talked about them freeing up by doing these various moves, they have the potential flexibility of creating another $24 million or so by doing max restructures of Ryan and Julio, meaning that the Falcons have essentially, when you count the $14 million, $18 million plus $24 million, the Falcons have well over $50 million in salary cap flexibility this offseason if they so chose to go down that path, meaning that in a reality where the Falcons were indeed all in on Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and trying to maximize this current roster as it's built. And they could go out there and potentially be much more proactive, trying to lure in some big name free agents, some expensive free agents like a Carl Lawson, like a Joe Tooney, like a John Johnson, like an Aaron Jones, etc. But on today's episode, we're not going to necessarily go into the pros and cons of choosing or not choosing to go down that path. We'll just sort of wait and see how it plays out. But one con of doing that strategy with doing those max restructures on the deals is while you're essentially freeing up $24 million this year, you'd be adding a similar, if not the same amount, to their cap space in 2022. And I think what you would have a situation, you would be putting yourself in a situation where you'd probably be much more likely to have to quote unquote bottom out your roster next year and thus be much more reliant on rookies and undrafted free agents to fill some key roster spots because you may not be as able to afford some cheap veterans that you are able to do this year. Although a lot of that depends on what the salary cap would be in 2021. And if you assume the salary cap would rebound in 2021, again, it's all nebulous at this point in time. And so basically the bottom line is it's a situation that if you can help it, you would rather avoid if all possible. So instead, I think you'll probably see the Falcons tweak, slightly touch Matt Ryan's deal. I think that's probably likely just because you have a little bit more wiggle room with Matt Ryan's deal. And it's going to be harder for you to trade Matt Ryan anyway next year. So it makes a little bit more sense to touch his contract because at the end of the day, that's going to be a harder issue to deal with. But I think it makes more sense that if you could come to Matt Ryan and say, okay, we'll just sort of take $5 million by restructuring his contract this year and create $5 million in cap space this year, we're only really going to add about $5 million in dead money next year. So that's a workable number, right? You can deal with that. And I think it probably winds up playing out in a similar way, if I had to guess, similar to what Tori McElhaney of The Athletic outlined on her appearance back on the podcast last month, where basically the Falcons play it conservatively capitalized this year, possibly next year, in order to create a cap situation, whether that's next year or the year after in 2023, where they can have a lot more cap space to potentially go buck wild and have that cap flexibility in the future, as opposed to try to get it this year, right? So I think that's really probably the scenario that you wind up seeing playing out. And I think part of that strategy is going to include avoiding restructuring Matt Ryan and or Julio Jones's deal for as long as possible. And if you do have to dip into that well, it'll probably become, you know, in May and June at a point where you're trying to get your rookie signed, as opposed to trying to use that money in order to create cap space in March so that you can sign free agents. So to summarize, guys, all of that to say is you're probably going to see a couple more cuts over the next week. You're probably going to see several restructures over the next week before March 17th. And really, I think what's going to be the interesting thing to follow this offseason, and particularly over the next week, or as well as the next couple of months, is whether or not how the Falcons handle Matt Ryan's contract, Julio Jones' contract, as well as Dante Fowler's contract, because they have a little bit more flexibility with how they approach those things. I feel like the rest of it, whether we're talking about Grady Jarrett and Jake Matthews and Deion Jones and Tyler Davidson, etc., is a little bit more paint by numbers. So I think those will probably fall down a certain path, but really the flexibility is where how they handle Ryan and Julio and Dante Fowler. So that's going to be the thing to pay attention to. And obviously I'll be here on Locked On Falcons to break it down for when we find out the answers to those questions. And tomorrow's episode will be a free agent Friday. And because I've been waffling back and forth between doing guards and corners, we'll probably wind up doing both position groups on tomorrow's episode on our last free agent Friday before the actual free agent period kicks off. We know that the tampering period starts next Monday. And so that's when we'll start to hear some more moves with what the Falcons are going to do and what other teams around the league are going to do. So we got an exciting week ahead of us, and we'll sort of wrap up this increasingly exciting week with the free agent Friday. If you guys have any feedback, any questions that you want to send me, we still have some questions that we need to get answered, and probably, you know, Monday we'll continue our mock draft Monday and mailbag episode. So you, of course, will have opportunities to ask me questions to be answered on future episodes of the podcast. But you can send in your questions via Twitter to Locked On Falcons, via Facebook to Locked On Falcons, or you can send an email to LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. Appreciate it, guys. Until then.